And you know, you all know Tokes Adekay. She is just a pillar in this house. She just does so many things behind the scenes that you have no idea. She's worked with our children for years, and what they have done in Tribe of Zion is just amazing. As they've just amazing things as she's taught them to pray and to be prophetic and just to be filled with the Spirit and follow the Lord. And so I want you to give her a very, very warm welcome as she comes to speak today. Tokes Adekay, come on up, Tokes.
Thank you. I need thanks. Looks like Matt just helped out. Cool, thank you. Thank you, Matt. All right, praise God. God, we just want to say thank you for another opportunity in your presence. We are so grateful and blessed that we know you and we can reach out to you anytime. God, as we listen for your word today, we ask, oh God, that you speak to our spirit and our individual circumstances, and that you breathe your life into every situation today. God, take over. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, fun stuff. I'm just going to go right into it. I was going to do some sort of preamble before, but no. The title of my message is Against All Odds. And today, together, we're going to be going through the book of Mark 5, 22 to 42. To kick this off, when I was thinking about this particular Bible passage, obstacle course came to my mind, because when I went through the story of Jairus and how he sort of transitioned from reaching out to Jesus up until when his daughter was healed, there were all kinds of things in the way that were sort of getting in the way, kind of like your typical obstacle course. Of course, we set these things up for fun, but if you truly look at an obstacle course, you have a goal in mind, and you're starting from somewhere. And in order to reach your goal, you have to go through all these little hoops and stuff. Sometimes you introduce new things like water or like rope jumping and climbing stuff just to make it fun. But the ultimate goal is to get to that final destination. And I feel like sometimes in our lives, in our situations, we go through that. We, unlike our typical obstacle course, we don't have the advantage of knowing what tomorrow is. We don't know what those obstacles will be, but they're there. Sometimes they just pop up and then you have to deal with them. Recently at work, I got promoted, yay. but it was a 6-month journey from first my boss left, and I thought, whoa, this is a great opportunity. I'm going to get this job because you know what? She's been prepping me for all these years for this opportunity. So this is my time to step in. So I did everything extra because I wanted to get noticed. I want people to see how hard I work. I wanted people to see my results. And I did all of that. And 2 months later, I found out I wasn't even being considered at all. Like, I wasn't even shortlisted for the opportunity. Of course, this broke my heart because I thought, oh, geez, I've been doing all this work and nothing has come out of it. I was very upset. Typically, there's work politics and all kinds of things that usually play into these things. And I was really upset because I didn't know what else to do. I thought, if this is my path to growth and it's already blocked, what am I supposed to do now? How do I go from here to where I want to be? So I set out and I put my resumes pretty much everywhere. I was like, I'm going to just throw my resumes out there, and I went on this wild resume posting, And nothing happened for like a whole month. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to give up. Like, this is not working. Then somebody at my work approached me and said, hey, I got this promotion, but I want to recommend you for this opportunity. Would you be interested? I was like, oh, yeah. So I thought this was going to be the path. And then suddenly, all the resumes that I put out there, people started calling me for interviews. And they were a better opportunity than what I've just gotten offered. So I thought, I'm going to reach out and go that route. Of course, I went to all these interviews. Everything went really well. They told me how great I'll be for the opportunity. And I turned this one that I just got offered down, and nothing panned out again. I was like, what in the world is happening? I thought, why is this happening to me? And then I thought, God, you must have a hand in where you want me to go. Because sometimes when we don't see, like, I operate under this philosophy. I don't always think that way, where I say, if I know what God has planned for me, I will want that plan. But because I don't know, it's hard for me to know what that is. So I'm just like trying all these kinds of things. But God, I know whatever you have planned for me is the best. And I know I can't see it right now. It's frustrating. I'm upset. But I know that what you have planned for me is what is best for me. So I'm just going to wait. Of course, waiting is not fun, right? But so one day I was walking down the hall, and the lady that offered me the opportunity within my branch had already left to her promotion. But her boss was walking, and I just thought, I'm just going to ask. And I went, you know how the girl that you were working with sort of recommended me for the position? Do you think it's filled yet? She's like, no. Are you interested? I was like, yeah, I'm interested again. And then right after that, I got another call for an interview. I was like, this is insane. Because every time this opportunity comes up, something else sort of comes up with it. So I went to that interview, but I didn't decline this one internally this time. And in a way, the interview was better. But then after talking to this lady, I saw why that opportunity came up twice. Because I was seeking opportunities for things that I already know, things that I was familiar with, things that I know for sure that, hey, if I step into this position, I'll sort of ace it. And God is like, no, I want to expand your thinking. I want to expand what you know because I have bigger plans. Yeah. All the things that she was asking me to do, I was going, I've never done that before. But if you offer me the opportunity, I'll take it. And she was like, don't worry, you will learn really quickly. It's really good for your career. It will expand you. It will give you better opportunities once you're ready to like step even higher. So I took the internal opportunity, and that's how come I'm promoted. But sometimes to get to add, God had offered me right off the bat that position, and I turned it down. And then later on, he put it forward again. And just to make it clear that, you know what, this is where I want you to go. So in our lives, in our situations, we have all these things. Sometimes things just pop up and sort of interrupt our goal, interrupt our flow. But going through the book of Mark today, you're going to see how, in a way, that was similar for Jairus. Because Jairus, if you go to Mark 5:22, you see that he was a synagogue leader. In today's terms, he will be kind of like the president of the church or like the lead pastor of the church, of the synagogue. And Jairus sort of ran to Jesus. Screw Decorum. He's like, I don't care who's looking. I am the lead pastor. I am the president of the synagogue. I do not care. Sometimes when we think about the weight of expectations on us, it's like, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't be feeling this weak. I'm a Christian. I shouldn't be feeling this tired. I'm a Christian. Why am I feeling this way? That was not in the line of thought for Jairus. He saw Jesus. He had a need, and he stepped into it. He just went, and there was a crowd, by the way. It wasn't like, oh, Jesus was like in a corner, like doing stuff. Jesus was in the middle of a crowd, and Jairus sort of didn't care about all of that, but he stepped into it. He went to Jesus and fell at his feet. And cried and asked Jesus for help. So, I want to make sure that I'm not going too far off sidelines, because I get excited when I'm talking and I can easily get sidetracked. So anyway, he was a man that was chosen to care for and organize the synagogue services. So typically, like I said, he's the president of the organization. But he went groveling before Jesus, saying he was leaning on Jesus for support. So sometimes when you feel like, I'm a Christian, I should be stronger than this, I just want you to know that everybody sometimes hurts. We all hurt sometimes. And sometimes it's mentally, sometimes it's physically, sometimes it's easy for people to see, sometimes it's not easy for people to see. But the lesson here is that for us to just not all just internalize it and hope that everything is fine. I really love the song by Matthew West, I think, Truth Be Told. It's like, I say I'm fine, yeah, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine, yeah, I'm fine, but I'm not, I'm broken. Like, as Christians, sometimes we put on this facade and we say, I'm fine, how are you doing today? Yay, I'm good, praise the Lord. But inside we're hurting. And what I learned from Jairus is he was hurting. His daughter was about to die. He went out, he didn't care if anybody there thought, look at the guy that we always go to for advice. Look at the guy that we always lean on for support. Look at him groveling before Jesus. He didn't let that stop him. He ran to Jesus. He fell before Jesus and said, Jesus, I need help. He didn't let that weight of expectation and all these voices inside and without to stop him from reaching out to Jesus. Well, the good thing is Jesus actually accepted. Jesus said, yeah, I'll heal your daughter. Let's go. Well, this is fun, but it got better. Because in verse 25 to verse 34, a whole new scene came up. Jesus, on his way to healing his daughter, got touched by the woman with the issue of blood. His miracle was interrupted. This was kind of like, and I was thinking about it, it's like all these interviews and everything, is like, boom. Nope, you're not going anywhere. His miracle got interrupted. But it was interrupted by a blessing to somebody else. But sometimes in our lives, we don't see that. We don't see that interruption and how it's helped somebody else, how it saved so many lives, how because of that interruption, somebody's life is much better. We don't see that. We don't always have that benefit of seeing it. For Jairus, he was like, why is Jesus wondering who touched him? Why are we stopping and waiting in the face of life and death is so much different. It's not like, oh, I'm waiting at the grocery store. This is one of the kinds of wait that I don't like is, you know, calling the number on the back of your card. And then it's like ring, it's like the music is playing. And then suddenly you think they're picking up the phone. And then they would say something like, the next representative will be with you shortly. It's like, oh gosh. It's like, and then go, okay, maybe they will be here soon. And then they will interrupt the music again. The next representative will be with you shortly. It's like, it drives me nuts. Or here's another kind of waiting that I don't like. It's the furniture store one. We will be at your house between 12 and 5 on a Wednesday. It's like, so I'm supposed to just wait from 1 to 5 for you to pick up the furniture or for you to drop off my stuff? Like, I want to know. I want to know right now when it's going to happen. Are you coming in the next 30 minutes? Are you coming in the next 15 minutes? Tell me the exact time. And waiting irks me. And I'm sure we all have similar experiences where waiting just sucks. Well, Jairus, his case was much dire. His daughter was dying, and Jesus waited. Now, because we're waiting for something does not mean Jesus has forgotten us. And you're going to see that. You're going to see that later on in that passage. Jesus stopped to heal the woman, to confirm the healing for the woman with the issue of blood. And it didn't matter who was looking. It didn't matter what was happening. Jesus stopped. because there was a need. It was a miracle in progress, while another miracle was in progress. But for Jairus, he was probably going, oh my gosh, when is this going to happen? When is this going to be done? Well, when all that scene played out, right after it was playing out, and I think that was in verse 35, he got the bad news. His daughter was dead. It's like, Jesus. I mean, if it was me, and this is how I typically do things, and I will later on be like, Jesus, forgive me for thinking this way, is I get angry. Angry at God. I'll be angry at God. I'll be angry at the crowd. I'll be angry at the woman with the issue of blood because it was her fault. I got to Jesus first. It's like, why did you just come out of nowhere and now my daughter is dead? Right? But Jesus, while the message was being delivered to Jairus, Jesus stepped in to assure Jairus. He said, Jairus, and this is one of the verses that I just want you to keep at the back of your mind, no matter what your situation is, okay? It says, do not be afraid, only believe. So today, before, when I noticed that there won't be Tribe of Zion because we did some organizing for Tribe of Zion to happen, but it didn't happen, and I thought, geez, they're going to be up here, but I don't want them to lose out on this. So some of the things they're coloring right now, some of you with kids, you see your kids like coloring stuff. It's part of this message. I want them to know that no matter what, on the playground, in the classroom, wherever you are, when things are not going the way you want it to be, do not be afraid. Only believe. Holding on to that faith in Jesus is so vital. You know, sometimes like when people say they don't believe in God, I can't even fathom it. Like, it doesn't compute for me because God is my solid foundation. The reason I'm able to stand and function and think and be is because I have God. When I'm having those mental struggles, and we do all do, where it's like, oh, geez, I'm not good enough. This is not working. I don't like how I am. I don't like this about me. I can always, always disconnect from that and say, this is who God says I am. And because of that, I can go on. For someone that doesn't know God, I don't know how that works. And it's just unfathomable. So if you know someone that doesn't quite know God yet, if you're looking for a reason to pray for them, a reason to connect more with them, put that at the back of your mind. They need that support. We all need that support. There's nothing, nothing can fill up that God-sized hole in our hearts, in our lives. Only God can. And being able to just lean on that, being able to hold on to that faith. And that's what Jesus reminded Jairus. He said, Jairus, only believe. Do not be afraid. Only believe. And he did something else that I thought, at first it was like, I kind of cocked my head and went, what in the world? He dismissed the crowd. I was like, everybody go away. I only need Andrew, Peter, everybody else go. And you see why this is relevant in a moment. So Jairus held on. It's like, okay, he's dead. I mean, she's dead. What do I do now? But if Jesus says to believe, I guess I'll believe. I'll just go on. I'll wake up today and go back to work. I'll wake up today and go do that thing. I'll wake up today and go back to my treatment. I'll go back and be positive. All those little things, right? So it might be your marriage, it might be mental health, it might be your job, whatever it is that you're praying and holding on to God for, just know that he has your best interest at heart and don't be afraid. Just believe. Don't give up hope. So, faith in Jesus. The story is not over. So Jesus walks into Jairus' house. And this is from verse 37 all the way to verse 40. And there were all this crowd. Everybody's like wailing and crying and weeping. Evidence of trouble everywhere. Jesus steps into the situation. And this is where I got excited because of the crowd again. Because another crowd, it's like, there was the one crowd he's dismissed already, and then there's this other crowd that he's walking into. Well, at this time, he tried to reason with them because he actually had a conversation. He said, "Why are you all weeping? The child is not dead. Just leave it." Of course, he laughed at the absurdity of it. It's like, he's crazy. He doesn't know anything about anything. I mean, this is Jesus. Jesus, every word that comes out of his mouth is truth. He entered the situation and he declared truth over the situation. When we say, hold on to God's promises, I will not die but live to declare his goodness. That's his promise. Do not be afraid, I will be with you. That's his promise. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. That is his promise. Then when those voices, some of them are from within us, that says, I'm not good enough, this is not going to work. Some of them are from external, saying, I've been through that before, that didn't work. All of that, loud voices, sort of trying to get into the truth, trying to poke holes in the truth of God's word. I like what Jesus did here. He just kicked them out. I know in my head, I saw him just saying, everybody out. Of course, the Bible didn't say that, but it did. If you read towards the end of verse 40, the Bible says that he asked them to all leave and then go outside. Jesus kicked them out. Let the truth of God's word kick out the lies. The truth of his word. That is why the Bible exists. It's not just for us to sort of do our devotions every morning and then be gone. It's a living power to empower us every day, every minute, every hour, every time. We need to connect back to the truth of who does God say I am? In this situation, what is God saying about this situation? Has somebody else experienced it in the Bible? What can I learn from it? How did God deal with that person? And going back to God's word and relying on his word helps. It helps us transition from where we are to where we need to be. Holding on to that truth. Jesus already spoke the truth to Jairus. Jairus is holding on to the assurance. Jesus stepped into the situation. Jesus spoke the truth to the situation. And then when he saw that there were voices countering that truth, he kicked those voices out. You can surrender those voices to God today and say, God, I hear these voices in my head that says I'm not good enough. I hear these voices in my head that says this is not going to work. I hear these voices that says this is impossible. It's never been done before. But this is what you say. And I want to hold on to yours. Help me kick those lies out of my head. Kick those lies out of my social media feed. Kick those lies out of my YouTube views, whatever. I don't know. I'm not very connected to social media, so I don't know what the relevant thing is these days. But we want to get the lies out. And the way to get the lies out is to hold on to the truth of God's word. This is my favorite part. I love a happy ending. So sometimes when I'm reading a book and I know there's a happy ending, but I hate rushing to the end. So it's like, oh gosh, I want this part to be over. I want this part to be over because I want to get to the end. And my kids would just say, just flip to the end and see what happens. I was like, no, but I want to see the end. I want to see the end, but I don't want to see it right now. So this is kind of the situation when I was reading this Bible passage. I mean, I know the story, but when I was studying it for this, I thought, I want to see all those little hidden things. How Jairus went from there to here. All those little things that sort of like make the story. And once the voices have been quieted, and once the lies have been dismissed, and it was just Jesus with the daughter, he said, Talitha Kumi, little girl, I say to you, arise. And in verse 42, happy ending, immediately she arose and walked. And it makes the journey so much worth it. You know, when I turned down the opportunity the first time, and everything else sort of went berserk, and I just couldn't make way ahead, It didn't make sense. The chaos did not make sense. I was frustrated. I was sad sometimes. I cried. And it's funny because ordinarily you would think, I mean, if you put it in perspective, it's just a job. Why are you so worked up about it? But because I wanted it so much, I felt so disappointed. I felt like, am I not really good enough? Like, I thought I've worked a long time for this moment. Why is it not working? I was very sad. I started being bitter towards people. Bitter towards people that have the promotion that I didn't get. It's like, I wanted that position that you're in right now. I applied for that position that you're in right now. I am more qualified for that position that you're in right now. How come I'm not in it? And I was mad and I was angry, and it was good because God used that to teach me. He used that to say, you know what? First, we're going to deal with that anger. Second, you are my ambassador. You are a light. I want you to shine, and we're going to bring that light out. And I went through that for a few months where I learned how to identify bitterness. I learned how to identify when that anger is stirring up and what to do with it. At first, it sounded ludicrous because it's like, the first picture God gave me was, whenever you feel that anger towards that person, that situation, I want you to picture a box and take that anger, put it in a box, and give it to me. And I thought, okay, whatever. So I started practicing it. It's weird. It might not work for everybody, but it worked for me. Where I started, when I feel that resentment towards that person, I just say, God, I am feeling it again. I thought I dealt with it yesterday. I thought I dealt with it last week. Why am I feeling it again right now? I'm giving it back to you. And amazing things happen. Along with that, and speaking in tongues, God takes that and he heals me. And it's just amazing because now I can see it coming. Before, it just sort of whoosh. But now God trained me to sort of identify and see what the patterns are. It's like when you're feeling this way, when you start to feel this way, this is what's coming after. God gave me a different kind of awareness of who I am that I wasn't sure of before. And I learned through that process. And that's why I said the victory was so sweet, because not only did I grow spiritually, I grew, I learned about God more. God taught me more about me. God taught me about his plans for me, which is so much bigger than my own tiny little scope. Because my scope, I was ready. It's like, this is my career path. I'm not changing it. I've worked hard for it. I'm not going any other way. I know this stuff inside out. If you wake me up, I know how to work this out. But God said, no, I have bigger plans, and you're going to go learn about it. So I just started this new job a week ago, and I've learned so much about how decisions are made, about how things move, about how money moves, about how people connect with people to make things happen, about all the backdoor things that happen that makes things a reality, things that I didn't have access to before. So God had a plan, and I am sure this is just the beginning, because I know I now have a glimpse into what he has planned, and it's so delightful. So Jairus waited and waited. He waited for the issue, for the woman with the issue of blood's miracle. When he got to his house, instead of Jesus going directly to his daughter, Jesus had to deal with the crowd again. He waited. And in the end, he got his daughter back. And this is his promise to you, us today too. The same way Jesus came through for Jairus, he's going to come through for you. Jesus will take you by the hand. Jesus will speak to your situation. And Jesus will perform your miracle. Just wait. Trust. Trust that he's got you. And he's got you. And that's my message today. Praise God.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Tokes, that was so good. Thank you very much. Just love it. I just love that. Just love that, you know? We get so tunnel-minded, don't we? And we think how God should answer our prayer. And then when there's a detour, it's like, what happened here? What happened? And I just think you brought that out so beautifully. Thank you very, very much. Well, praise the Lord. What a beautiful day we've had. So wonderful. God bless you all as you go. Let that light of Jesus shine forth in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your grocery store, wherever you go. Carry the glory of God and let the light shine forth. Amen. Let's see you tonight.